powerful song that speaks of the coming of Christ. And so I hope this evening that you'll make, if you would, every effort to come out and support the choir this evening as we present the cantata, and it'll be a good evening. Yeah, I know it's another event, as Dave talked about, but it's one of those moments. Of course, Christmas Eve is also one of my favorite services and love to be part of that. But this could be another part of the joy today. Of course, the theme of Advent today is joy. And so I think it's another thing that can bring joy to the season. And so I encourage you to come out and support the choir. And I want to say as carefully and lovingly as possible. Last Sunday was the youth program, and the youth did a tremendous job sharing Christmas at the beach. But we as a church didn't do as good a job supporting them. And so we were just a little disappointed. But let's support one another in this Christmas season. And so we encourage you to come and be part of what God is doing. And we know that He'll bless you for every effort you make as you touch the lives of others. And so we appreciate all that God has given us in this season. And I do want to make mention out in the foyer is a 10-day reflection entitled O Holy Night, and it's devotionals, 10 devotionals that are based around Christmas carols. And so if you'd like to have one of those for the next few days leading up to Christmas, they are there in the foyer. Make yourself available of those. Well, as you know, we have been sharing with you over the last several weeks about the gift of Christmas. Mike Grable shared with you first Sunday of Advent the indescribable gift. And of course, that indescribable gift is none other than Jesus. And last week, we shared with you in regard to the gift of Christmas, because of that indescribable gift, God's presence with us. And so today, we want to continue to share with you in regard to the gift of Christmas, but today, we want to take a little bit of time and share with you in regard to the Lamb of God, the gift of Christmas. I believe probably one of the most powerful and profound statements in all of Scripture was made by John the Baptist when he points out, if you would, the gift of Christmas, the Lamb of God, in John chapter 1. Yes, truly the gift of Christmas was and still is the Lamb of God. And so I want us this morning to take some time and let's explore this gift a little deeper as we think about the Lamb of God. And so let's take our Bibles this morning, turn over just a single verse, and it's, well, at once, as I said, just profound. John chapter 1, verse 29. Appreciate if you would stand this morning for the reading of the Word. John chapter 1, verse 29. Powerful passage this morning as John the Baptist shares with us. John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Let's pause for a moment of prayer this morning. Dear precious Father, Lord, as we come to you this morning, we're so thankful for this beautiful Christmas season that you have given to us, and we rejoice with the hope and the peace and the joy that Christ brings, precious gifts of the season. But Lord, as we come to your word this morning and consider this life-changing, powerful, wonderful gift given to us in the Lamb of God, I ask that you would stir our heart and that you would stir our mind. And today, we would understand the Lamb of God like we've never have before, and that we would take that gift to heart and that we'd experience Christ in a powerful way today. And so, Lord, I ask that you would just move on us. I ask that you allow us to come under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, allows for the preaching of the word. Thank you, Lord, for the precious gifts that you've given to us. We ask in your precious name. Amen. You may be seated this morning. As we think about the gift of Christmas being the Lamb of God, I would like for us to really begin to think about the Lamb of God. In fact, we're going to even go back into the Old Testament and begin to think about the Lamb of God in the Old Testament. And then we're going to consider the Lamb of God in the New Testament, understanding that the Lamb of God, even the Old Testament, is still the gift of Christmas, just as much as he is in the New Testament. But there's such tremendous symbolism we find in the Old Testament speaking in regard to the Lamb of God, the coming Messiah, the gift given on that first Christmas. And so let's step back in the Old Testament for just a few moments and think about the Old Testament Lamb. Of course, in the Old Testament, the Lamb of God was considered to be a sacrifice for sin. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. And so as we think of the Lamb of God is what Scripture is really all about. From Genesis to Revelation, it surrounds. And right at the center, at the very motivation of the Word of God, is the Lamb, the sacrifice for sin. And so all of Scripture is really about this gift, the Lamb of God. Note, if you would, this morning, as we're thinking about the Lamb of God, Old Testament and New Testament, the Lamb of Scripture has eternal significance. Not just since the cross of Calvary, but even before the birth of Christ, back in the Old Testament, the Lamb of Scripture, the Lamb of God, the gift given to us, had eternal significance. Key role in the Old Testament and into the New Testament. I want to share with you in the Old Testament is Genesis chapter 22, verses 7 and 8. Now, I want you to consider this morning, if you would, the symbolism that we find here. And we're going to be looking at Abraham from the very beginning of God's relationship with the nation of Israel, the father Abraham of the nation of Israel. Look at the symbolism in regard to the Lamb. And so Genesis chapter 22, verses 7 and 8 share with us. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." Then he said, "Look, the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." So the two of them went together. Most of us know this story very well. But what I want us to understand, that even from the beginning of the nation of Israel, from Father Abraham, the Lamb of God had great significance. It was a sacrifice for sin. Yet here we find Isaac and Abraham in this moment, and Isaac asks a pondering question. "Father, here's the wood and the fire. Where is the lamb?" Note, if you would, what Abraham says to his son. "God will provide for himself the lamb." And so from Genesis chapter 22, verses 7-8, we understand OT, Old Testament, God is going to provide the lamb. Many years later, God does that very thing. Well, if you read that story, you'll find that there was a ram caught in the thicket. God provided. God will and has and forever provide the lamb. Such powerful symbolism of what was to come. A little farther down the road in the Old Testament, we encounter the nation of Israel in Egypt. Captives, slaves at this point. The last plague to come on Egypt was the death of the firstborn. And so on the first Passover, the lamb died to save the firstborn of the nation of Israel. Once again, God providing a lamb for his people. Israel is saved by the blood of the lamb. The lamb in the Old Testament becomes the central figure of the sacrificial system. And so on the Day of Atonement in the Old Testament, a lamb is offered up for the forgiveness of Israel. A foreshadow of the one to come. We're all familiar with the shadow. When the sun shines, we can see our shadow behind us. But a foreshadow is a glimpse of what is to come. And so when we see the Lamb of God in the Old Testament, it is a foreshadow of what is to come. And Isaiah the prophet prophesies in regard to the one to come, the Lamb of God. And we see that in Isaiah 53 verses 1 through 8. And I don't think you could say it any better than what Isaiah said it. And so I'm going to share it with you. And so Isaiah said, "Who has believed our report? And who has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. And we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people, he was stricken." I'm not sure you can say it any better in describing the Lamb of God, the gift of Christmas. Isaiah was prophesying of the coming of the Lamb of God, the Messiah, who would redeem his people. But not only his people, but all people. the Lamb of God, the gift of Christmas. Old Testament. God will provide a lamb for the redemption of His people. The Old Testament lamb was symbolic of the one to come. The one who will give His life as a sacrificial lamb. And by His death, we will be healed, forgiven, and restored. This lamb will be the gift of Christmas. We understand that lamb born of a virgin, born of God, Emmanuel, God with us. First Christmas, Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, the Lamb of God, the gift of Christmas. Enter now New Testament, Lamb of God. I'm sure you figured it out by now, and you probably already knew. That Lamb that was spoke of in the Old Testament, the one to come, the Messiah, the Christ, that's none other than, you can say it, that's do, we can do better than that, Jesus. One more time. Jesus. Jesus is the gift of Christmas, the Lamb of God. Question for us this morning. Do you know anyone other than Jesus who has given their life as an offering for sin that we might be righteous with God? Speak now, forever hold your peace. Just Jesus. That's it. Just Jesus. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 shares with us, but God demonstrated His own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There probably isn't a one of us that doesn't love receiving gifts. We probably, some of us love to buy and present gifts as well, and I hope we do. But I want you to know this morning, there is no greater gift than this gift of Christmas, the Lamb of God, the Christ who died for us. And I hope this morning that every one of us has experienced this gift, received this gift. This gift of Christmas, Jesus, Jesus is the spotless Lamb. The only one capable of dying at the cross of Calvary and restoring a right relationship between humanity and God. The spotless Lamb. In the Old Testament, you would find the only lambs that was able to be brought into the tabernacle and then into the temple were considered to be spotless, near perfect. Jesus is the perfect gift. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 19 share with us, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The perfect gift. The Lamb of God. I know in the Christmas season when we think of our friends and family and loved ones, we would like to get them the perfect gift. And you have to think about that, and you think about that, and you think about that, and you end up buying them gift cards. Isn't that the truth? Come on now. It is. What? You know why? Because probably most of us have everything we need and more. And so we end up getting gift cards. I'm sure glad that God didn't settle for a gift card, but gave us the most perfect gift, the spotless Lamb of God. We also understand that in the New Testament, the Lamb of God, the gift of Christmas, Jesus, was and is the atoning sacrifice for sin. That's why He's the perfect gift. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 through 15 share with us. But Christ came as high priest of good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with His own blood. He entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh. Listen, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And now for this reason, He is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption and of the transgression under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Oh, what a precious gift. How much more than the blood of bulls and goats? This gift given to us, the atoning sacrifice for sin. Old Testament, Day of Atonement, every year, sacrificial lamb sacrificed for the sins of Israel. And if you're familiar with the sacrificial system, lots of other times, lambs, doves, you name it, sacrificed for sin, for forgiveness. But this gift, the gift of Christmas, the gift, the Lamb of God, Scripture says He entered into once the Holy of Holies, and there sprinkled His blood for eternal redemption for all of us. Forgiveness, restoration, this gift, the Lamb of God. I would like to draw our attention this morning, as we're thinking about the Lamb of God, back to John chapter 1, verse 29. We've talked about Old Testament Lamb, New Testament Lamb of God, the gift of Christmas. And this beautiful passage, as John declares Jesus as the gift of Christmas. Now, I know it doesn't say that, but the gift of Christmas is the Lamb of God. Listen once again. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." All church, we've received a precious gift. I want us to note for a few moments exactly what John is saying to us in regard to the Lamb. First of all, let's look at this word, behold. Very important in this sentence. Behold means to take notice, to look, to recognize. And so John is saying to us, as he said to those individuals that were gathered around there as he was baptizing people, John said, take notice. Look. Recognize just who this is. This is Lamb of God. The gift of Christmas, Lamb of God, Messiah, Christ, the one prophesied of, the fulfillment of the foreshadow, the one who is to come that started way back there with Abraham and Isaac. The one who is sent to deliver Israel. The one who has come to deliver all of humanity is here. Behold. Let's say that together this morning because I think it's so important in this season. Behold. One more time. Behold. What are we beholding? The Lamb of God. You remember when you were children? I think some of us can remember back that far. We probably didn't behold gifts on Christmas, but we certainly took notice, did we not? And for most of us as children, there was so much expectation and anticipation that it was difficult to even go to sleep. But we noticed quickly, probably before anyone else was out of bed, the gifts under the tree. I hope that in this Christmas season that we behold, we notice the Lamb of God. The gift of Christmas. And so John says to us, behold, take notice, recognize who this is. The gift of Christmas, the Lamb of God, the atoning sacrifice for all of humanity. John says to us clearly, this is the Lamb of God. This is the one who will surrender his life that we can be forgiven of sin and be restored to a right relationship. This is the sacrifice. This is God's gift to you. And then John says, who takes away the sin of the world. This gift, the Lamb of God, came with specific purpose. Specific purpose. This gift given to the world and to us came with purpose. To take away our sin. If you know anything about sin, sin is a willful transgression against a known law of God. And sin separates us from God. This gift, the Lamb of God, comes with purpose that we might be forgiven of sin and restored to a right relationship with God. If we need any gift this Christmas, it is Jesus, the Lamb of God, the perfect Christmas gift. And so as Christmas comes and goes, I certainly hope that you have a wonderful season and that you're able to gather with family and friends and you're able to exchange gifts with one another. I hope that as the season comes and goes, we don't stop experiencing the gift of Christmas, the Lamb of God. Because I know how it goes, and I know, and you do too. Many gifts are given with great expectation and wondered and hopeful purpose. Yet many will be repackaged, taken back to Walmart or Kohl's or whatever in exchange for a gift card because it wasn't the perfect gift. And there must be some of us that will open the gift and we'll smile and say thank you as we're all thinking, what in the world were they thinking? And then some of us will say thank you for that gift card and we'll never use it. That's the truth. Billions of gift cards expire every year unused. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard. Note, if you have gift cards you don't want to use, bring them to me. I'll be sure they'll be used. Unused. Unappreciated gifts. Not the perfect gift, but God. Created, packaged, and presented to us the perfect gift, the Lamb of God. I've mentioned this to you before. Three things that come with a gift. The purchase, God created, the giving, and the receiving. I wonder today, have you experienced the gift of Christmas? Have you received the gift, the Lamb of God, who has come to take away your sin and restore your relationship with God? Perfect gift. This gift of Christmas. The Lamb of God. Let's stand this morning, if we could. Lan, if you would come to the piano this morning and as Lana plays softly, I know many of us here this morning have received this gift, the Lamb of God, and you love the Lord and you're rejoicing in this Christmas season. Maybe this morning you just want to step out and come to an altar and say, thank you, Lord, for this gift. It has been the best gift, the most precious gift I ever received. Maybe you'd want to do that, or maybe you want to do that right where you're standing this morning. But there might be a few of us here this morning that have never genuinely accepted this gift, the Lamb of God, never asked for our sins to be forgiven. So to you this morning, I want to say God is giving you the perfect gift that will restore your relationship with the Father. If you're with us this morning, or if you're watching or listening online, would you receive that gift this morning?